19 minutes after 10 is the time. I kind of have this weird thing that I always attack other people for, where my heart is overruling my head. And I'm looking at the prospect of another Scottish independence referendum. I'm looking at the likelihood of it going the other way, actually, and independence being the desire of the Scottish people. And I feel a profound sense of sadness at the prospect, because I don't know whether this is patronising or Anglo-centric or utterly fair and justified. I'm waiting for you to tell me. It feels like home. I am British. Clive's in Hull. Clive, what made you pick up the phone?
James, hi. Hello. Pleasure to speak to you. I'm a Scotsman, as you can tell, living and working in Hull at the moment.
Yes.
First of all, I want to tell your listeners out there, being a Scottish nationalist myself, or a member of the SNP for a long time now, Scottish independence has nothing to do with hating English people or disliking anybody.
Sorry, I'm already interrupting you. I do apologise. But just to clarify, not for you. I mean, I'll share a story from my own experiences that suggest plenty of people, or some people on your side of the fence, would adopt a very different view. There is an anti-English sentiment among some corners of the nationalist movement.
Yeah, of course, mate. Yeah, you get idiots everywhere you look, don't you?
That is the truest words you will hear on the radio today. There are idiots everywhere you look, Clive.
Okay. I just want to continue my point, James.
Yes,
you also espouse a theory that Scottish independence and Scottish nationalist movement is somehow akin to the Brexit agenda.
This is me in the sense that it's splitting up stuff that we're currently part of. So I don't think you can argue with that.
The two things are polar opposites.
Why?
Because Brexit is about England wanting to be insular, inward looking, get away from Johnny Foreigner, okay?
Yes.
Scottish independence, mate, is about Scotland wanting to take a different path. Sorry, I'm emotional about this, okay? You can probably tell.
You carry on. That's absolutely fine.
Scottish independence is about Scotland.
Yeah.
Scotland's desire to take a different path, to become a welcoming, inclusive, forward-looking country, open to the world, okay?
So you are setting it up as a rejection of what you perceive England or Brexit England to be. I'm not part of Brexit England,
well,
you see. That's why
I'm
it oddly personally, this desire to...
James, what do you think you're going to lose? You still come to Scotland. We'll still be friends.
It won't be the same, though, will it? But it won't be home, you know. I love going to Paris. I'm going to Paris on Friday. I love it, but it's not home.
It will be home. You're welcome. Anybody's welcome to come to Scotland. We're a lovely country full of lovely people.
I think you're probably right, actually. Just hearing you say the words. Who cares what we've got written on our passports?
James,
I hop over to North Berwick and I'm in one of my favourite places on the planet, and who cares who's in charge?
Can I just make a final point, Jim?
Of course
I'm taking a bit of your time up here.
No, you take all the time you want, Clive.
You're going to get a load of callers on after me, probably, from a different point of view, from the unionist people that want to stay part of the union, okay?
Mm.
They're going to tell you that the SNP are doing a terrible job, that Scottish education's in downfall, the Scottish NHS is in downfall, that everything's terrible, that we're an economic basket case, that we're all subsidy junkies. That's the insults that we have all the time from Westminster-based MPs. The sheer disrespect that the SNP are showing on live TV in the House of Commons is enough to do it, but especially since we've got another multi-millionaire right-wing lunatic in charge now.
Well, yes, I'm not going to argue with that, but here's the thing, though. Don't laugh at me, Clive, but why can't we...
Laugh, mate.
Well, I haven't said it yet. You might do. You see, you did. The question is, and I know it sounds a bit pathetic, but can't we just try a bit harder to get along? This is where the parallel with Brexit works for me. Can't we just work a bit harder on the bonds and the strengths of the union rather than justifiably rejecting it because you feel, I mean, unjustifiably rejecting the European Union in the context of Brexit, I sense we'd agree on that. But rejecting the union between England and Scotland on the grounds that you've been badly treated, can't we just start treating each other better?
The SNP has done nothing except extend a hand right to the very word go after the Brexit vote happened in 2016, I think it was. The SNP, the Greens, Plaid Cymru, all these, you might call them fringe political parties.
No, I wouldn't.
excluded from all of the negotiations, even though it's going to affect Scotland. Yeah, but so was
Labour. So was Labour. I mean, you know, it's
yeah, I know, mate. I know, but well, they've since went over and above. They've been to the EU and talked to people without permission from Westminster, and they've been very well received. My final point here, James, is Scotland is a European country, and I want it to stay that way. I'll be sad to see England go as well, you know, if the union splits up. Because as I say, I love English people. I love being on holiday in England. I've been coming to holiday in England since I was like 13 or something.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I'm now 50. I love the place. Lovely people.
But it's not.
But you're heading in a different direction now.
Yeah, well, I think you've nailed my problem. I think because I all of this emotional connection and affinity and sense of being at home, hey, maybe even England is starting not to feel like that place. So what right have I got to demand that Scotland stays shackled to this ludicrous vessel of nonsense and xenophobia that they're trying to turn England into? 25 after 10. Clive, what a cracking start. Thank you. Wendy writes, it's lovely to hear your emotional connection to Scotland. It's nothing to do with anti-English sentiment, James. It's about removing ourselves from the control of a Westminster Parliament that doesn't represent our country and its views. Being an independent country is normal. Aye, it is, I know, but still, I can't help how I feel. Stuart's in Bath. Stuart, what would you like to say?
Hi, James, how are you doing?
Stuart, very well.
I'd kind of just like to echo what you've heard so far from Clive and Wendy there. None of this is about hating the English for anyone. All Scotland wants is to be a normal country, and normal countries choose their own government. Scotland is in a situation where about...
But Britain is a country. The United Kingdom is a normal country.
Well, no, it's not. That's kind of the crux of it. The United Kingdom is an uneasy union of four countries.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really make a lot of sense in the modern era.
It makes as much sense as Bavaria and Prussia being part of the same country. Well, right. Certainly East and West Germany being part of the same country in the context of the last 100 years is a lot harder to sustain or explain than the 500 years of Scottish English Union, isn't it?
It's not really. 300 years.
Yeah, 300. That's like play your cards right. Lower, 300 and a bit years. Yeah, it is. I mean, you say this. How old are you? Do you mind me asking you that?
I'm 51.
Okay, so we're very similar generations. Have you always felt like this?
I've always felt like this since I was a very young boy. When I grew up and I sort of didn't understand anything about politics, but I could see that Scotland had an international football team. I could see that we had an international rugby team. So I felt like we must be a nation. And when I got older, I didn't understand why a nation wasn't choosing its own government.
You can't understand why... What's that proclaimer's line? I can't understand why we let another nation rule our land cap in hand or something
that's
like
the one,
that.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. I mean, that's what you're saying, isn't it? And it resonates.
Yeah, I mean, I live in Bath. I've lived in England for half of my life. I run the biggest Scottish independence website. It's called Wings Over Scotland.
Oh,
and it's sort of a well-known fact if you follow the movement that I don't live in Scotland at the moment.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that. I see you on social media a lot. I had no idea you were based in Bath.
Yeah, yeah. This is nothing to do with hating English people. This is just not
for you,
why.
Not for Clive, not for Wendy. But there, I mean, it is there. I guess maybe this is me trying to. I mean, back in the days when we thought there were sensible reasons to vote for Brexit, how hurtful it was to those sensible people to be lumped in with all the sort of racists and ignoramuses. And just because it turned out there weren't any sensible reasons really to vote for Brexit doesn't mean that we can continue the comparison into Scottish nationalists. You're absolutely right. I encounter some anti-English sentiment when I'm in Scotland. That does not constitute a brush with which I get to tar the whole of the nationalist movement. I need a bit of company. Sorry, phone lines are full, but I think everybody's queuing up to promote independence. Does anyone want to hold my hand and just sort of warmly... Look, I know what I'm doing. I'm turning into some sort of lettuce. I'm sitting on live national radio saying, why can't we all just get along? But somebody has to. Because if we don't start trying to get on with each other a bit better, we're going to carry on driving these wedges between us, whether they're based on ethnic origin, whether they're based on country of birth, whether they're based on skin colour or accent or whatever it may be. The idea that we should be standing up to the forces of nationalism white nationalism in America and yet embracing Scottish nationalism in Britain is something I need a little bit of help understanding. Or ideally, a little bit of help doing a bit better in this argument, which I am currently losing on a very grand scale to people who just sound, well, they just sound more sensible and better informed than I am. I'm just sitting here literally describing how I feel and a sense of loss that I would have in the event of Scottish independence. And it's pathetic, but it's sincere. And frankly, I thought you'd be more caring. 03456060973 is the number you need if you indeed understand where I'm coming from this morning. Simon Conway is here with your headlines.
British Airways has now cancelled almost 100 flights at Heathrow and Gatwick airports due to an IT failure. Around 200 others have been delayed due to the problem, which started this morning. BA customers are being urged to check before travelling. The Labour MP for Edinburgh South has accused the Shadow Chancellor of being utterly irresponsible over his comments about a second Scottish independence referendum. John McDonnell says a Labour government wouldn't block a vote from being held and it would be up to the Scottish Parliament. An undercover investigation by LBC has found many retailers selling electric scooters don't seem to know the law around where they can be ridden. They're banned on public roads and pavements, but some shops we visited gave misleading advice. LBC weather, a mixture of sunshine and showers, heavy rain with hail and thunder across Northern Ireland, Northern England and Scotland, a high of 23 degrees.
LBC. Sheila Fogarty, Monday to Friday from 1 p.m.
Well, he's going to fight for the right for the whole population in the second referendum. It hasn't gone through, and what looks to be the only remaining option is no deal. And there is huge
no
concern.
No deal is not going to happen. The point is the Lib Dems have said one thing. They said that, all they're doing is they're going off the back.
Sheila
Fogarty.
With Blink, an Amazon company, helping give your family peace of mind.
LBC.
All right, there's more choice.
Silence the squawk. Find brand new cars ready to drive away today with Auto Trader.
Builder Ali spent his 40-year career whistling as he worked. Then he was offered a free pension review from what he thought was a reputable firm. But it was a scammer, and his lifetime savings were stolen.
Oi, waiter! Another bottle of champers over here.
Don't let a scammer endure your retirement. Check who you're dealing with. Visit ScamSmart from the Financial Conduct Authority.
Your open plan office. Let's face it, it's noisy with zero privacy. So, speak to the glass office people. They'll transform your workspace with versatile glass partitions. There's minimal disruption. They can work at night and weekends. And no hidden costs. That's pretty handy when you're running a business. Use their online pricing tool to see how cost-effective it can be. TheGlassOfficePeople.co.uk. Creating new spaces in places.
Will you be the one who missed out? There's now less than 4 weeks to claim back your missold PPI. Don't be the one who never bothered to claim. Billions are still owed to millions of people, just like you. Claim for free to your lender or financial ombudsman, or save time and let us manage it for you. All it takes is a simple text to Gladstone Brooks. You can get started now while you're at work. Text the word CLAIM to 66777.
Gladstone Brooks.
It's your Stand By Me station. LBC sister station. Smooth Radio.
Life's always better when the radio's on. And with digital radio, it can be even better. So why miss out when you get in your car? If you don't have DAB digital radio in your car, you can listen to your favourite stations from Global, including Capital, Capital Extra, Heart, LBC, Radio X, Classic FM, Smooth and Gold by connecting your smartphone using Global Player.
Find out more about listening to digital radio via smartphone in your car at getdigitalradio.com.
Love radio. Go digital.
Hear that? That's how fresh air sounds. Clean, pure air. Like you'll enjoy in your Mini after an air conditioning refresh. For just $39.99, we'll clean, treat and disinfect your air conditioning, getting rid of odours and bacteria. We'll throw in a summer health check, wash and vacuum too. Breathe easy this summer. Book online today at a time to suit you. Mini. Who's in? Participating mini retailers only. Subject to availability. Health check content may vary. Offer ends September 30th, 2019.
James O'Brien on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Ready. 10:34 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. I just sort of probably not going to go in big on Brexit today because, I mean, everyone needs a break. But you will be familiar with people like Digby Jones, oh, the great big pudding, and Michael Gove claiming that this sort of renegotiation is not happening because of EU intransigence. Quite an astonishing attempt to mislead the British public further. But don't take my word for it. Here is Michael Gove speaking before the referendum about how things would pan out in the event of you taking his advice and voting to leave.
Because if we vote leave, then we're in a position to dictate the terms in Britain's economic interest.
Oh, okay. So that's what we need to be doing, Michael, instead of complaining about them not budging from the position they've held since we asked them to adopt a backstop in Ireland, since we invented the backstop in Ireland, since many British politicians, including you, voted for that backstop in Ireland, which you're now attempting to describe as anti-democratic. You said, let's hear it again, you were absolutely clear, Michael Gove, on what would happen. So quite how you get to turn around 3 years later and say, oh, hang on a minute, it's not fair, they won't let us play with them, is a mystery to me. A mystery I probably won't get the chance to ask you about, but I'll play this out again in the hope that anybody who does bump into you today or tomorrow or next week or next month or at any point up until October the 31st and quite possibly beyond, they can just remind you of what you told the British public.
Because if we vote leave, then we're in a position to dictate the terms in Britain's economic interest.
Except we're not. 10:36 is the time. From one division to another, as the United Kingdom seeks to wave goodbye to the European Union, so Scotland increasingly seeks to wave goodbye to the rest of the United Kingdom. And I'm really sorry for doing this in such an unprofessional fashion, but it makes me sad. That's today's 10 o'clock topic on this programme. Cameron is in Ardrossan. Cameron, what would you like to say?
I wonder, James, if you're aware of a guy called Tom Nairn. He's a Scottish political scientist, and he says there's a clear distinction in nationalism between what he calls as positive nationalism, yes, which would be the Scottish kind, which is inclusive and welcoming and just a country wanting to stand on its own 2 feet,
yes,
and what you would see as negative nationalism, which is this kind of regressive, stepping back, controlling and kind of bordering yourself off. And I would say that Scottish nationalism is the more positive one, which we are trying to take the step to do. And the other point is that nationalism in Scotland is not about where you're born or what it says in your birth certificate. It can be where you feel at home. So if you want to come to Scotland, you can take up Scottish nationality just by saying that you want to be Scottish. And that's the kind of nationalism I think Scotland should be.
I think you're right. I can't really argue with it. But you understand it makes me feel sad. And I'm not going to dedicate the entire hour to my emotional health. But do you get that? I mean, you don't get that when you come to England. You don't come to London and think you're at home. You come to London and think you're a visitor.
Well, I mean, I've got family down in England, as yes, many people in Scotland will have. But
well, of course, probably everyone.
I don't see it as going to a completely different country because we still share an island. You know, Britain is an island that we all live on. So even if we were to have different political systems, we would still be on the same island and we would still have that kind of cultural ties between us. You know, I don't see us putting a wall up across the border to stop the English getting in. It's just about us making our own decisions.
Yeah, no, I can't argue with that. I guess I just got to suck it up, haven't I? And also trust in what you describe as positive nationalism. So, yeah, you know, there are countries in the world that I love, that I feel an affinity with, of which I am not a citizen. Greece, most obviously, and soon Scotland perhaps will be on the same page. It'll be in the same category. I love it. I feel at home there, but it's not my home. At the moment, it is.
We're not closing the border, so you're welcome to come anytime.
Well, you might not have much choice, mate. If England stays out of the European Union and Scotland wants to go back into it, you're going to have that. You're going to have the same problems that they currently are facing on the island of Ireland. But that is a conversation for a different day. 10:38 is the time. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Kevin is in Wimbledon. Kevin, what would you like to say?
Well, what I'd like to say is this. Scotland has a population of 6 million, roughly. England has a population of 80 million. I'm not sure what the population of Wales is. And I see it as like one big country. Now, the Scots had a vote on independence, and they wanted to stay within the Union. What amazes me is, do they want independence now so they can bail out and then get bailed out by the European Union like Greece has? be given billions of pounds.
It's not in the Eurozone, mate. I'm happy to listen to you, but we need to get some facts established. Greece is in the Eurozone. Yeah. The bailout is a direct consequence of Eurozone membership. It's got absolutely nothing to do with European Union membership. So any parallels between Scotland, putative future, and Greece are utterly pointless.
Well, I think Scotland should be free. Don't take this the wrong way.
But you've just said something that is categorically wrong, and you haven't even drawn breath. You're just straight off again on why you're right to believe this thing that was based upon a belief that was completely wrong.
Why don't you draw breath before you crack on again?
Why don't you go, oh, crikey, I can't believe I got that so completely wrong, but I'm still going to make the same argument in slightly different words.
Well, the thing is, Scotland is not going to get a vote on independence.
Well, you must have missed the deputy leader of the Labour Party saying that it is in the event of them getting into power.
Well, they won't get into power.
Oh, I see. Right. So not only do you not understand what the Eurozone and the European Union is, but you also have the world's worst crystal ball.
Well, I have got a crystal ball. Labour aren't going.
Well, you go and give it a polish. Mary's in air. Mary, what would you like to say?
Hello, James.
I'm coming over now. It's talking to people like that, clowns like Kevin. I could be a fully paid-up member of the SNP by tea time today.
Listen, it's not about hate. My English husband is a fully paid-up member of the SNP. He campaigns for independence. He calls himself an English Scot for Yes. And we have very active groups up here. So we are very inclusive in Scotland, and it's not about anti-English hatred. It is about Westminster. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and who can look at Westminster now apart from a tiny number of kind of mutton-headed fools and feel represented? Sure. I mean, most English people can't feel represented. A majority of one, a chief advisor to the Prime Minister who's been found in contempt of Parliament. It's just ridiculous.
It is indeed. I think I understand. All my points have been made by Kevin and Stuart, who's great to have a pint with. By the way, I thoroughly recommend it. I have done so, met him in Bath. And listen,
it's incredibly dull on Twitter, I have to say, I'll take your word for it.
Scotland is a European country, and it's been a European country much longer than it was part of Britain, which is just a geological construct. So is Europe, all right, madam.
Europe is just a geological construct if you want to get down to brass tacks.
So is Scandinavia.
Well, exactly. You're the one citing it as a reason for independence. I'm just not letting that pass. Well, I'm losing every other argument, so I'm going to win
Scottish
that.
Enlightenment. I'm sorry. Let's take it back. Yeah. Scottish Enlightenment. We were very, very informed. Problem was, we weren't for a long time. I always thought of myself as British and Scottish, and I was what you would technically call a unionist.
Yes.
And then I did my homework. And basically, I read the Macron report from 1974, and then I discovered I wasn't in an equal union.
You're just not, are you? You just can't win that argument from the other side. You cannot say that someone in Ayr is as well represented in Westminster as someone in Chiswick. It just doesn't work.
Here's the thing.
Go on.
You've got loads and loads of programmes on Brexit and saying, here's the promises they made, here's what's happened. We've got the same. We've just got 2 years extra on you. We've got promises from 2014. I'll read you some. Yeah. We were supposed to have federalism, as close to you can get, that was Gordon Brown. Mm. Carbon capture, that was George Osborne. Mm. Frigate orders, none of which appeared. We were supposed to be an equal partner in a family of nations. All quotable, all researchable. Have you ever watched Scottish Questions before Prime Minister's Questions? I know you're on air at the time. No, I can't. I'm on air,
so I've got one excuse. I instructed Theo Osherwood some time ago to start including Ian Blackford's contributions at PMQs because I noticed this appalling southern bias that even we fell foul of, and we love everyone on this programme.
I know you do, and it's marvellous, and that's why your numbers are up, and that's why you're getting more callers from Scotland, because we're listening to you. We don't listen to the BBC. We turn off the BBC. We listen to Eddie Mayer, and we listen to you, because you're the voices of reason, and we like it.
Do I have a leg to stand on? Am I just sounding like you have a love for Scotland? Yes.
We have a love for England,
right.
And that's fine, and it's not going away. We just want good neighbours and self-determination. And here's the thing, the worst thing Cameron did is he won the Scottish independence referendum, and at 7 o'clock in the morning he stood on the steps and he introduced evil English votes for English laws. Yeah. He dismissed an entire nation.
And
so many
you know
people
the thing
voted no
go on
and watched that that and went, oh my God, what have I just voted for?
Do you know something happened in 2015 that I haven't mentioned yet, but yep. which I think is actually the beginning of the end for my position on this issue, which was when I looked at what the Conservatives were doing about the prospect of a pact between Ed Miliband and the SNP yes. and Nicola Sturgeon, and it looked...
The billboards.
Yes, it looked very, very similar. It looked they were trying to make me feel about Scottish people,
yes.
like UKIP tried to make me feel about Polish people.
Gypsies and everything like that.
That is genuinely, perhaps wrongly, but that's how I felt. That's what I felt that the Tory disgusting. Propaganda was doing.
And just please, in your spare time, watch Scottish Questions. All the MPs arrive for Prime Minister's Questions during Scottish Questions, so there's no respect.
So it's like a corridor. It's treated like a corridor or an anteroom rather than a absolutely crucial matter of national governance. Come on, I need a bit of help. This is wall to wall now. It's 10:45 every call. I haven't heard an English accent yet apart from mine, and every single caller is in favour of independence. So, I mean, that Labour MP objecting to what John McDonnell has done, it's an odd one, isn't it? Because I think at almost any other point in the history of the United Kingdom, Labour would have really not fancied this on the grounds that they generally get a hat full of seats from Scotland to push them over the line to power in Westminster. But the astonishing change in the arithmetic of Parliament and the astonishing success of the SNP in the last 10 years has put Labour onto... I mean, it's like that line in Dirty Dancing, isn't it? They've put Labour in the corner. And that perhaps is why John McDonnell can do what he's done today, although you understand why it infuriates Labour MPs in Scotland, because, well, they'd be out of a job. 10:46 is the time.
The countdown is on.
We're going to fulfil the repeated promises of Parliament to the people.
The country's future up for grabs.
I will take personal responsibility for the change I want to see. Never mind the backstop, the buck stops here.
When the Prime Minister speaks, you'll hear it first on LBC.
I'm the hero on your show.
Yes.
And I want to talk about what I would love to do for our country.
Don't miss a moment as history is made.
No ifs or buts.
LBC, leading Britain's conversation.
William, Pamela and Anthony were sold investments by banks and ended up losing money. Luckily, they contacted the financial claims experts at Goodwin Barrett and were able to claim back a total of £65,500. At Goodwin Barrett, we may be able to help you too. If you've lost money on an investment sold by a bank, even if you no longer have the investment or the paperwork, just text GOOD to 60777 for a free assessment on how much you could be owed. Text GOOD to 60777 and we'll call you back.
Dads. They're often the first person in the firing line when the Wi-Fi isn't working. But with BT Complete Wi-Fi, only we guarantee a signal in every room. Billy can fight ogres in the bedroom, Becky can watch her beauty vloggers in the bathroom, and Mum can do whatever she likes, wherever she likes, naturally. Join today. It's £39.99 a month on an 18-month contract with a £29.99 setup fee. BT customers can upgrade with BT Plus. BT, be there.
New customers. CPI increase starting 2020. £44.49 a month from month 19 up to 3 discs to guarantee Wi-Fi or £20 off your bill.
Surprise someone you know with a beautiful hand-tied bouquet. Zingflowers.com. Amazing every time.
Builder Ali spent his 40-year career whistling as he worked. Then he was offered a free pension review from what he thought was a reputable firm. But it was a scammer, and his lifetime savings were stolen.
Oi, waiter! Another bottle of champers over here.
Don't let a scammer enjoy your retirement. Check who you're dealing with. Visit ScamSmart from the Financial Conduct Authority.
Quick, put these tights on and grease yourself up.
Tights, grease? What? Why?
It's time for your match.
What are you on about? Who's he?
The heavyweight champion of the world, Jackhammer Johnson. You asked me to book you a flight.
A flight? I wanted you to get me a flight.
Oh. Good luck.
Should have gone to Specsavers for £400 off selected hearing aids. Offer ends 30th of September. Ask in store for details.
Hear that? That's how fresh air sounds. Clean, pure air. Like you'll enjoy in your Mini after an air conditioning refresh. For just £39.99, we'll clean, treat and disinfect your air conditioning, getting rid of odours and bacteria. We'll throw in a summer health check, wash and vacuum too. Breathe easy this summer. Book online today at a time to suit you. Mini, who's in?
Participating mini retailers only. Subject to availability. Health check content may vary. Offer ends September 30th, 2019.
When you take your new puppy home this summer, the first thing you'll think about is giving them a name. But the second should be keeping them happy and healthy. For pet insurance policies as unique as they are, get a free quote today at petsinapickle.co.uk.
Football is back on Sky Sports. With our total football offer, you get all our football for just £18 extra a month.
Absolutely amazing!
Sky Sports has more live games than ever before and more of the biggest fixtures. That means more passion, more drama, more glory. All for just £18 extra a month.
And it's live!
Search by Sky Sports. Sky Sports Football and Premier League, £18 a month for 18 months. Requires Sky TV. Prices may change during this period. Offer ends September 26th.
Leading Britain's conversation. LBC with James O'Brien.
It's a tricky one, this. It is the stickiest of sticky wickets. As someone who feels British at home in Scotland, however you want to phrase it, is going to sound emotional. I don't think I've got a prayer. I haven't got a chance of winning any of these arguments, because you just need to look at what's happening in Westminster. You could say, well, it doesn't have to be like this, and it hasn't always been like this, and it won't always be like this, but that doesn't matter, does it? You have a look at what's happening in Westminster, and then look a Scotsman in the eye and tell him that independence is not something that she or he should be fighting for or requesting. It's interesting how close the numbers are. I mean, there's a huge amount of desire for retention of the union in Scotland, and it did get very, very nasty and continues to be very, very nasty. Tempers, passions, inevitably and understandably run high. Mine oddly don't, so that's why I wonder whether those of us who aren't of Scottish extraction are even allowed to have skin in this game. But it just feels sad to me at a time when we are struggling, I think, to remind ourselves of the importance of unions, struggling to remind ourselves of the importance of cooperation. A very British problem, this. British and, I suppose, American. Rest of the European Union, as we discussed yesterday, has seen support for membership rocket since we made the incredibly clever decision to leave. But I don't know. Clearly, the model I'm applying to Scottish independence doesn't apply. It's nothing like Brexit. And that distinction between positive nationalism and negative nationalism is one that I'm going to look into more deeply. My thanks to, I can't remember the name of whoever sent it, but one of the best. See, another reason I envy Scottish people is they have a much better vocabulary of insults than English people do. And also, you've got quite a lot of insults that aren't swear words, you know? Or at least I don't think they're swear words. So when I said just before the break that every accent we've heard on the programme so far has been Scottish, someone did get in touch via text to say, apart from that guy in Wimbledon, but he was a tube. Tube as an insult, great word. Scooby as rhyming slang for clue. All about, anyway. Joanna is in Stirling. Joanna, I've lost this battle. I think it's sayonara Scotland at some point. It's just a question of when.
Yes. thank you, Jim, for taking my call. I decided to call today. This is the first time, actually, I made a call.
Well, you're very welcome.
Yes. I am Polish, actually. I live in Scotland. I've lived here since 2008. And my husband's English, but we're both adopted Scots. We want to stay here. We love the country. We love how inclusive and friendly it is. In 2014, in the referendum, we both voted. I was allowed to vote as a EU citizen residing in Scotland. And we both voted, I'm afraid, for Scotland to stay in the UK. But 2 years later, things changed completely. And they went downhill from there. So we believe that Scotland would be much better off on its own, despite all the doom and gloom that some people were spreading, saying that we will not manage.
Well, motivated by economics then, rather than by any emotional nationalism. And I don't mean that as a pejorative. I really don't mean that as a pejorative.
Partly economic. I mean, the original vote in 2014 was based on economic reasons, because I am a self-employed interpreter and translator. I work as an interpreter in Scotland, but I also do translations for Polish companies on the internet. So I just didn't know how things would change. There were questions of Scotland remaining in the EU, and there were questions concerning the currency as well. Mm. All that was not explained, and I kind of chickened out, and I thought, I think we'd be better off just keeping things as they
are. That's an interesting figure of speech that you employ, chickening out, because I think David is this chap's name, and he says it's not about being anti-English, but it's for Scotland to stand on her own two feet and be inclusive, and that really resonates, doesn't it? That really chimes. Instead of being shackled to the to the clown show that is British politics at the moment.
I work a lot for the NHS. This is my main line of work as an interpreter. Yes. I go to lots of hospitals and GP practices. I speak to people. I speak to both Polish people. I also speak to healthcare professionals there. And I also hear from people about how it is in England, and they say Scotland is just so much more friendly and inclusive and caring. I would even say.
Well, I'll let that pass, but it's not the promised land, is it? Matters of epic sectarian violence in Scottish football, for example. But
yeah, you're right.
But that's just don't ask anyone what team they support, and you'll never get into a scrap. There you go. That seems fairly fairly straightforward.
Well, my husband's English,
As
an Englishman, he supports English football, and he is fine. He goes into a pub when there is an England Scotland game.
Yes.
And he's fine. He gets a bit of, you know, a few jibes, but basically he's quite friendly. There's no problem there. He's accepted, you know, the fact that he supports different football
teams. How long have you lived in Scotland?
11 years now.
It's astonishing. I'm fascinated by accents. I don't know if you do know that. Listen to me.
I know. I do listen to you.
So French people never lose a scintilla of their accent, even if they've lived here for 50 years. I think if you hadn't told me you were Polish, I'd have thought you were a native of Stirling.
Well,
it's an amazing thing, isn't it? But before you go, yeah. This thing that happened in 2015 when they started trying to portray a Labour, the right-wing media did this, and the Conservative Party, the idea was that there was something fundamentally suspect about cooperation with Scotland, that there was something fundamentally, I almost want to use the word dirty, you know, because I'm thinking about UKIP posters and UKIP propaganda and the filth that they disseminated, and of course, albeit under a different name, continue to do so. And I saw that seeping into Conservative messaging during that campaign, and it was as if they were trying to make me feel, and you as a Polish-Scottish person, they were trying to make me feel about Scottish people like UKIP tried to make me feel about Polish people. Do you recognise that, or do I sound bonkers?
I have noticed that at the time. However, I didn't feel that 2016 referendum was going to happen kind of at that time. So I, being in Scotland, I kind of disregarded it. It was not part of where I was. It didn't really directly concern me.
No. However, it wouldn't, because you weren't in England. It was in England that these posters were. It wasn't Miliband in Nicola Sturgeon's top pocket or something, or the other way round, or something like that. It just was really, really ugly. I didn't really pick up on it at the time. Joanna, thank you so much. Just to pick up on a previous caller, I think the list of promises that hadn't been kept, the UK Defence Journal, which is a blue-ticked account, has been in touch to say it's an independent website publishing British and international defence news, that actually the frigates, I don't think that whoever runs this account was listening, but it's been brought to their attention that somebody said no frigates had been ordered, and there was a promise that they would be. That apparently is not true. Frigates have been ordered. Always, as you know, happy to retrospectively clarify and clear up on issues that my knowledge doesn't stretch to fact-checking live. There aren't many. But that was one. Tom's in Milton Keynes. Tom, what would you like to say?
Hello, James.
Hello,
it's the
Tom.
First time you spoke to me, you lucky thing.
Yes, you've got about a minute left.
Okay, so basically, I think what I'm looking at here is that if Scotland, I mean, by the way, my position is that actually I wanted to keep the union. And then after that, since then, in the last couple of years, I think actually I can understand why countries want to be independent and have their own control on what happens in their own countries. The one thing I would say, just to add some kind of Anglo-Saxon balance, if you like, is that particularly a caller from Bath, a chap who's Scottish originally but spent half his life in England, how does he square up now the want and need to have an independent Scotland, yet still have half of his life here kept safe by the country that's cared for him and also provided him with business as well. That's my one thing that isn't squaring up at the minute.
Sorry, you don't understand how Scottish people can live in England?
I can understand how they live in England, but then...
It's exactly the same way you do.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Also, we've lived in the European Union all our lives, and soon we won't be living in the European Union.
But that would then promote a union, wouldn't it? And that's what you're talking about. And I still have a romantic view of keeping the union. But actually, sensibly, I'm thinking that... You know, perhaps everybody would be better off.
But if I've understood you correctly, and it's perfectly possible I haven't, wouldn't it just be the same as expats living in Spain on the Costa del Sol having strong views about British politics, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Okay,
yes.
I did understand you correctly. It was a fairly silly point, but I say that with enormous love and gratitude. It's 11 o'clock.
On your radio, on Global Player, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock, British Airways has cancelled almost 100 flights from Heathrow and Gatwick airports due to IT issues with its check-in systems. The airline is urging customers to check its website before travelling. LBC's senior reporter Matthew Thompson has the latest.
All morning, stranded passengers have been posting pictures of huge queues at check-in desks, the nightmare start to any summer holiday. British Airways has said there are systems problems affecting check-in. They're using backup and manual systems to try and cope. So far, 91 flights have been cancelled from Heathrow and Gatwick, and over 200 more have been delayed.
Separately, there's also been disruption for rail passengers this morning. Southern and Gatwick Express trains couldn't run to or from London Victoria earlier after a small fire started next to a track. The Shadow Chancellor has been accused of being utterly irresponsible over his comments about a second Scottish independence referendum. John McDonnell said a Labour government wouldn't block a public vote from being held and that it would be up to the Scottish Parliament. Labour MP for Edinburgh South, Ian Murray, has heavily criticised him, saying it contradicts Labour's last manifesto. David Clegg is the political editor of the Daily Record.
The Scottish Labour leader, Richard Leonard, has spent the last 2 years saying under no circumstances would Labour allow a second independence referendum and campaigning fiercely against it. So he's been completely thrown under the bus here. It does give you the suggestion that John McDonnell and Jeremy Corbyn have pretty much given up on winning seats in Scotland.
The government is being urged to bring forward urgent new regulations surrounding the sale of electric scooters. An investigation by LBC has found many shops selling the products aren't making it clear that they're illegal to ride on public roads and pavements. London's Walking and Cycling Commissioner Will Norman says our findings show that some retailers are putting Londoners' safety at risk. The new Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab has met Donald Trump during his first visit to the United States in the role. Mr. Raab met the president last night, saying he appreciates his warmth and enthusiasm for the UK-US relationship. Around 15 million households will see their gas and electricity bills go down this winter after the energy watchdog cut its price caps. Ofgem says the limit for standard variable tariffs will fall by £75 from October to just over £1,100. The cap for prepayment meter customers will also fall by £25. The LBC Markets report, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 58 points at 72.30 and the pound buys $1.21 and €1.08. LBC weather, a mixture of sunshine and showers today, heavy rain with hail and thunder across Northern Ireland, Northern England and Scotland, a high of 23 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Simon Conway.
Aye, it's a good job I'm a newsagent, because I couldn't sit still at a desk. Nah, the urge to fidget is strong in me, but see, rather than fight it, I put it to good use. Like making my own drum roll sound effects to celebrate tonight's triple rollover. I don't miss it.
Lotto, from the National Lottery. Amazing starts here. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
After 11 even. It's fair to say you were a wee bit outvoted, writes Alison. You're not wrong, Alison. It's worse than that. The only two fellas who called in coming close to adopting the same position as me on Scottish independence were the two whose heads got torn off in the last hour. So I don't know whether I apologise for that or just acknowledge it. But we'll take a few more calls on this because it's a matter of enormous interest and fascination. I guess the bottom line is you look at calls for Scottish independence and the problems, of course, that the Labour Party has juggling the various desires and ambitions of voters north of the border and south of the border. It's very, very hard for me to look at Westminster and say to my Scottish friends, of course you should stay shackled to us. It just is. Now, if Gordon Brown was Prime Minister, it'd be a lot easier to say it, wouldn't it? If I don't know, somebody sensible from the Conservative benches like Dominic Grieve or Ken Clark was Prime Minister, it'd be a lot easier to say, yeah, come on, lads, let's all stay together. Let's stay together. Let's hear in the words of Brian Ferry. Is it Brian Ferry? Let's stay together? I think it is. But look who's in Downing Street. You've got an absolute chancer running the country, and he's surrounded by complete... Well, I'll tell you who he's surrounded by. Do you remember last week or the week before when we dug up that book from 2012 that was written by Dominic Raab, Priti Patel, Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng? It said things like, the British workers are among the worst idlers in the world. Okay, and then within a week of achieving high office, Foreign Secretary in Raab's case, Home Secretary in Patel's case, they were both busted for lying about their own previous words. Raab claiming that he'd spoken a lot about no deal during the referendum campaign, it being proved pretty much beyond the shadow of a doubt that that was a barefaced lie. Ditto Priti Patel seeking to distance herself from her historic support for the death penalty, while somewhat inconveniently being presented with recordings of her supporting the death penalty. That's what we've done by putting Boris Johnson into 10 Downing Street. We have opened the door to all of them. This is why some of us couldn't let the Brexit dog lie, because if the liars got away with that, what would they lie about next? And now the three holders, the three of the four highest offices of state in this country are occupied by proven liars. Proven liars. Dominic Raab, Priti Patel, Boris Johnson. Quite incredible. But anyway, what I said to you last week, as I said, I was feeling sorry for this chap, Chris Skidmore. Do you remember? Because he was an author of this book as well. I'd never heard of him. One of them's Foreign Secretary, one of them's Home Secretary. Liz Truss got a big job. And I thought, what happened to this Chris Skidmore fella? Turns out he is still a Conservative MP. He's been made a minister in the Department of Health, and he came up against Krishnan Gurumurthy the other night on Channel 4 News.
No, this is new money. It's £1.8 billion on top of the £3.9 billion that was announced for capital spending back in 2017.
But it's in fact money that was given to hospitals that they saved by making cuts but weren't allowed to spend. So now they've been told they can spend it. But so it's not new money, it's just that you've now told them they can spend the money that they had.
No, I mean, this is an announcements day with an extra £1 billion of capital spending on top of the £850 million extra.
But it's the money they already had, isn't it?
This is an announcement today where we have seen additional money going into the system, additional money on top of the £3.9 billion that's been announced.
Is it the money that hospitals saved that has now been told they can now spend on capital projects?
The money has been released.
Is it the money that came out of...
The money's been released to be able... No, because this is new money from the Treasury.
But it has nothing to do with the money that hospitals saved.
In terms of accounting and in terms of hospitals that were putting aside money, obviously when you look at examples of the 20 trusts today, obviously they were way for sustainability transformation partnership schemes that just missed out last time.
Please answer the question. And in terms of where this money has come from. What we know is that hospitals up and down the country have been saving money for years, but have not been allowed to spend it. And the understanding from experts like the Nuffield Trust is that this is an accounting exercise that now releases that money to be spent. So it's money that they saved by cutting on services that they're now able to spend on capital projects. Are you saying that is untrue?
No, what we're seeing today is...
Is that untrue?
No,
yes,
it's not.
No,
it's not untrue.
So that's correct, what I've just said.
When it comes to capital, you can't just suddenly announce this on projects that suddenly appear. Projects are in the pipeline for a long period of time, and what we've been able to do today is release the money to make those projects finally happen.
Masterclass there from Mr. Gurumurthy. Absolute masterclass. Do not let them wriggle away. Known in the trade as doing a grayling. Just keep talking until the whistle goes. That's what Chris Grayling got wheeled out to do. They all try and do it now. And if you don't call it out, they just high-five their spads on the way out of the studio and say, yet more wool pulled over the great British public's eyes. And there are a few journalists doing incredibly important work. I mean, absolutely certain that they compromise their access to these politicians every time they actually hold them to account, because that's the other great problem going on in the British democracy at the moment, is that if you want access to government, if you want access to senior Conservative politicians, then you kind of have to be a little bit more gentle than Krishnan was there. So kudos to him, and a useful reminder for all of us in this business of, in the words of Mr. Punch, that's the way to do it. 9 minutes after 11 is the time. Back to the question of Scottish independence and my abject failure. I'm not even sure I want to anymore. That's the beauty of having such quality callers. My abject failure to defend the union because of events, because of where we are. I could make a passionate case for remaining in 2014, but now, quick glance at Downing Street, quick scan across Westminster, the lineup of liars that has been assembled at cabinet level. Michael Gove, who some people consider to be one of the goodish guys, absolutely banged to rights this morning on this programme for telling you that if we voted to leave, we would, in his words, dictate the terms of future relationships with the European Union. Now he's complaining that they won't abandon their own negotiating position and somehow compromise their own position in order to boost Boris Johnson and him. It's insane what's going on. So how can anybody turn to their Scottish friends and family and say, oh, no, you really need to stay part of this union. We're going great guns. Fiona is in Castle Douglas. Fiona, what would you like to say?
Oh, crumbs. Well, I'm English, moved to Scotland 5 years ago, well, 6 years ago now, and...
See, the Polish Joanna had quite a strong accent up in Stirling, and you haven't picked up the Vegas burr, despite spending 5 years in Castle. It's a fascinating subject to me, but possibly not the one for discussing today.
Oh, it is. So language sometimes pops into it, sort of like there's certain sort of like words and things you start to use. So yes is a word I have used south of the border. Everything else is we and small. It's little things.
Pal.
I love things.
Pal for me. I spend an hour in Scotland. I call everyone pal for the next six months instead of mate.
Oh, my husband does that all the time. Drives me potty. All of a sudden it's just like pal this, pal that. And I'm going, for goodness sake, you didn't used to say that. But I realise I do exactly the same thing myself. Yeah. And no, I love it up here. And it's the language of Scotland and how Scotland actually is, and living up here and what I actually feel being part of Scotland. I noticed in the last few years that Nicola Sturgeon has changed her language and how she frames phraseology that she uses to represent Scotland. She no longer refers to Scots or the Scottish. She refers to the people of Scotland. There's a general feeling that, especially between my family, that we feel included and represented. One of the main benefits of actually living in Scotland is the fact that our voting system with Holyrood and the Scottish Parliament, it's proportional representation. So regardless of what your voting choices are, you actually feel represented. You feel that you have a voice. Whereas with the Westminster government now, it's the first-past-the-post system totally dominates, and you just feel squelched and squashed down and pushed out of the way. I'm really sad to say. I mean, when we had the independence referendum, we all voted very much to remain and stay part of the union because I believed that was better for all of us. We've now lost that.
5 years later, you can't make that case anymore, can you?
I can't make that case. I mean, when we had the Scottish independence referendum, nearly 1,000-page document was produced on how independence would work, so that you could look at the detail and try to understand how that relationship would work between our trading partners, how we would live money right the way across the board with the referendum. On Brexit, we had a pamphlet through the post, just a small little pamphlet, which was totally and utterly insufficient for the gravity and the magnitude of the decision that we're actually being asked to make. And my heart breaks because I believe our politicians have massively let us down, hugely let the whole country down. And I just see the union not being there anymore. And I don't see it coming back in my lifetime. I'd rather be part of a progressive, forward-thinking, aspirational and happy country in Scotland.
Yeah, but you know what I'm going to say. Why can't we be a progressive, forward-thinking, happy country again altogether?
Because I think there's a rising English nationalism that's dominating everything. I mean,
we need new words, don't we? Because we can't talk about nationalism in the same breath. What we're seeing in Scotland is a desire to engage with the world, to embrace modernity, to turbocharge the 21st century. So that's what we file under Scottish nationalism. English nationalism is the literal opposite. It's a desire to go backwards.
Basically, it's retracting and getting smaller and smaller, and just almost like a disappearing.
Could you annex Kidderminster? Do you think you could get the independent Scotland to annex Kidderminster? A bit like before the wall came down, a bit like you had that corridor to Berlin. Could we have a sort of corridor from the Castle Douglas to Kidderminster or to Chiswick so that we could just annex certain parts of England and have them filed under Scotland? Or would that be too difficult to arrange?
Oh, I don't know, but it'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
It would be lovely. Well, you could do both. Why can't we be like Northern Ireland, where you can be British, you can be English or Irish, or British or Irish?
That's the thing. The Good Friday Agreement led to such a positive thing for Ireland and Northern Ireland together. So everybody felt they were part of their own countries, but part of a bigger thing altogether. And that peace came. Everybody was happy. And now all of this is just what's looming in the future is frankly terrifying. And I think that the problem is the wider United Kingdom, south of the border in England, I don't think really understands how complex issues are in places like Northern Ireland. They don't ever really bother to listen to it, to be perfectly honest.
Well, guilty. We're guilty on this. No, I mean, you're right, but I can't let that go unacknowledged that we've dropped the ball on that over the years. I've been doing this job for years, and my interest in Northern Ireland and Scottish, Northern Irish and Scottish politics is a result of Brexit, I'm afraid. I'm very embarrassed to admit that, but I can't argue with you because I'm guilty of what you describe. 11:15 is the time. That investigation by Rachel Venables into e-scooters